Why don't we begin?
Find a really nice spot and take a really good mental photograph. And then, when you've done that, you can turn around and then close your eyes and then see Giriraj again. But in this time in your mind. So when I see everyone turned in this direction with their eyes closed, I'll know that we're ready to move onward. When you've taken your picture properly. I want you to think of your favorite Krishna. It may sound like a funny question, but I know that you will know what I mean. I know who my favorite Krishna is. Of course, there are deities and there are paintings and pictures. But just find your Krishna, the Krishna that you have the most affection for, relationship with. And when you have that Krishna, perhaps you can put him on Govardhan Hill. But don't step on the hill yourself. And just think of all the garlands and flowers and offerings you can make to him. Make some offerings. Give him the nicest garland. You can get water from anywhere, the cleanest part of the Jamuna. You can give him the most finest peacock feather with a big eye. And then, perhaps you have to take him off Govardhan Hill so you can offer obeisances to his lotus feet. And then tell him everything. Anything, everything you want, you wish to tell him in the form of a prayer, in the form of a complaint, whatever you tell him what you want to tell him. Tell him, reveal to him your heart. Fully your mind. And then when you're finished, you can open your eyes and look at Govardhan Hill again. Take as long as you like. I want you to keep Krishna in your mind. Because how easy it is to forget Krishna. And we don't want to forget Krishna. We want to always remember Krishna. Keep Krishna in your mind. Keep Krishna in your mind. Don't let him escape. Keep Krishna in your mind, please. Very important, the form of Krishna. Here's just an extra two in case we need them. Raise your hand if you don't yet have the sheets of the verses. If you do not yet have the sheets of the verses, raise your hand. Okay. Now, I would like to introduce you to my Krishna. Here he is. He's so nice. One time, he was actually the first picture of Krishna, or one of the very first pictures of Krishna I ever saw. Maybe we could figure out a way to keep him up here.
Could you figure that out?
We almost figured it out. It was very popular. This picture was quite popular in the 60s. And I saw him then. Very, very attractive. And then, when I was in Vrindavan, one day I was sitting at my desk and somehow I had this picture, behind me, up on my desk, behind my desk. I was sitting like this and the wall was over there and this picture was on the wall. And suddenly, as I was sitting, I had the feeling that someone was staring at me. This is really true. And I looked behind me, just where I felt that that was coming from. And guess who I saw right there? It was him. It was Krishna. Whoops. Is this going to work? So, in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, as we know, there are many chapters. There are 90 chapters. The first chapter is the advent of Krishna. The second is the prayers of the demigods to Krishna while he's in the womb. Then the third chapter is the birth of Lord Krishna. And then right after that, Kamsa begins his persecution. That's chapter 4. And at that time, or before that time, Krishna has been moved from Mathura to Vrindavan, right after his birth. And then, right after his birth again, but nothing is really described about that, about Krishna in Vrindavan. But right after that, Nanda Maharaj decides to go to Mathura to pay his taxes, and he meets Vasudev, and Vasudev tells him what? Does anyone remember? Be careful, there may be difficulties in Braja. Take care of your son. So he comes back, and this is really which is the sixth chapter where he comes back, which is called Putana Kill. This is where Krishna is first seen in the land of Brajabhumi, or closer to Vrindavan. And there he is in Mahavan or Gokula, and Putana is killed. And directly after that, when Krishna is just a young boy, very, very, very beautiful Krishna, the same Krishna, but he's very, very little. And Trinavarta carries him away. He's just a child, a whirlwind demon, carries him away so high into the sky. And Mother Yasoda is feeling like a cow who has lost her calf, and she is crying in complete anxiety. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Then, so Krishna's a little baby at that time, and this is the salvation of Trinavarta, that's in chapter 7. Then, still in Mahavan, Gokul, Krishna eats dirt, the coward boys complain, Mother Yasoda asks Krishna to open his mouth, because Krishna, after all, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he opens his mouth, and Mother Yasoda sees within his mouth all the universes. She sees everything in creation. She sees herself suckling Krishna. All within Krishna's mouth. This will ruin her relationship with Krishna. How can she think the Supreme Lord is her son? Which facilitates the full exchange of vatsalya ras, of maternal affection. How can she think of Krishna as her son and think of what will happen to him? How can I protect him? Her love will have to be compacted if she sees the universe within his mouth. So therefore, Yogamaya covers that up. And she thinks, what has happened? Am I dreaming? Did I dream I saw this? No, I'm awake. How could I be dreaming? Was it some spell cast upon me? No. Is it this? No, it couldn't be anything. This is just... And then anyway, and she gets back and she begins to feed Krishna. Then the next chapter is Mother Yasoda binds Krishna. We've just finished the month of Kartik, and this is Damodar, where Krishna is bound around his udara, his waist, by Mother Yasoda. And then Krishna, being such a naughty, restless boy, and when one reads the Krishna book, one reads the Bhagavatam, there is this going back and forth always between this naughty boy who is so attractive, who has stole everyone's heart in Vrindavan, and then something will happen that proves him or shows him or reveals him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because this is quite astounding. I asked you all to think of your Krishna. But who, how many people in this world have a concept of the all-powerful Creator, the great lawgiver, as this beautiful boy who is wandering around Vrindavan without his shoes on? How is it possible for this to be the Supreme Personality? Yet he is. Who can say it is not possible? Who can say that God cannot be like this if he so desires? So some prayers will occur where someone will say, oh, here you are the Supreme Lord after you're appearing like that. So directly after Krishna is tied to the grinding mortar after his stealing of butter, he knocks down the Nalakuvera, the two trees, the twin Arjuna trees. And all the his fathers and mothers, all the elderly gopas and gopis in Gokul, they're astounded because these two trees fall down so close to this boy. He's been kidnapped already by Putana, who came to him, not kidnapped, but he's put in such danger by Putana, and yet he's somehow or another saved. And he's the life of Vrindavan. And then he's kidnapped, taken away high into the sky by Trinavarta, and he's somehow saved. Somehow or another, and the entirety of Vrindavan is in complete anxiety, yet because they love Krishna so much, and yet he's somehow saved. And now these two trees fall down. Right next to him, he was in so much danger, and he's so much saved. The cowherd men gather around. What has happened to Krishna? The boys say, Krishna was carrying, he was tied between this grinding mortar, and he pulled it between the two trees, and the two trees, by the strength of Krishna's pulling, the two trees fall over, and two shining men come out, and the cowherd men just look at them, thinking, oh, this is just childish stories. But some of the others say, your boy, Nanda, is very, very special. We can't understand how all these things, amazing things happen to him and what he does and how he's attracted us and he's the center of everyone in Vrindavan. But maybe he's done it. Maybe this too has happened to him. So then, right after that time, Upananda, one of the brothers of Nanda Maharaj, calls a town meeting and says, we're in Gokul at this time. And he says, we have to leave this place. The children, because the life of a community is the children are having, they're undergoing so much danger. Look what happened to Krishna. Just by the grace of God, because they can't accept that Krishna is God, and even when they see him manifesting his full things like God, like Mother Yasoda sees him with his mouth open and sees the universe in there, but it gets in the way of her loving relationship with him. So it has to be covered over by the internal energy of Yoga Maya. So the residents of Vrindavan, they're all like that. They just know Krishna is their beloved. There's the word is mamata. He is with affection. He's one of us, just like when you meet someone from the city that you were born in or the country you were born in, what to speak of, who's someone who lived on the same street as you when you grew up. There's a feeling of being from the sameness. There's a feeling of we're from the same village, we're from the same this, we're from the same that. A feeling of oneness and love, special love and affection. That's called mamata. So all the residents of Vrindavan, they had this mamata. Oh, here is our village boy, Krishna. We're so proud of him. We love him so much. That is mamata. That is the speciality of the residents of Vrindavan, this mamata. And that is so powerful that it covers over any understanding that they have of him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the two cannot exist simultaneously. So the love overwhelms all any other knowledge that they may have. So the residents of Vrindavan, sometimes they would understand something like he's the Supreme. How could he be anything other than that? But no, it could not last. So Upananda said, so many things have happened to Krishna and the other boys. It is too dangerous. We should leave Gokul. This is all Krishna's arrangement, or rather, it is the arrangement of Krishna's energy of Yogamaya. Because Krishna is just about to change his age. Krishna's ages are divided into three categories. First is what? That's second. First is Kumar, 1 to 5, then Poganda, 5 to 10, and then Kishore. So Krishna's transcendental body, by his own transcendental potency, is acting as if it's growing as we grow in our conditioned state. And in each different stage of his bodily manifestation, he manifests different loving exchanges. So those first 5 years are especially meant for his parents to enjoy Vatsalya Ras, because the child at that age, the mother is carrying him, and then she sees the teeth coming out. And these are all stimulants. They stimulate their love for Krishna. Just like naturally when the child first grows teeth, or they stand up for the first time, the mother and father, they feel their love just expanding. It's there always, but it's stimulated. So this, the first 5 years are especially meant to, by Krishna's mercy, to give pleasure to his mother and father, and all those in Vatsalya Ras. This is Krishna's mercy only. He wants, as the devotees simply want to please him, he simply wants to please his devotee. This is reality. This is the reality that we are meant to awaken to. But now it is time for Krishna to give other devotees the deepest satisfaction. So right before he changes into Poganda Lila, Krishna is a little stronger. He's walking around. And these early chapters are so sweet too. But here, at the end of this, after Upananda speaks that we have to leave Gokul, and that's in chapter 11. 10 is the killing of the deliverance of Manukuvera and Manigriva, and chapter 11 is called the killing of Vatsasura and Bakasura, two more demons. But these two demons are not killed in Gokul because of Upananda's advice. All the coward men decide that yes, we should move to Vrindavan. We will leave Mahavan and we shall now live in Vrindavan. And in chapter 11 it describes how they gather up all their possessions, and while not described directly there, but it is known that they are moving to Nandagram. And while Nandagram is being readied, they stay where it describes they moved all their carts into a circle, Chatikara. And there Krishna is tending the calves. He's old enough now to be given charge of the little calves. We saw one bigger calf just walking past. They're so sweet. What a perfect loving engagement for young boys. And this is where Krishna chooses to grow up. And this is what he chooses to do. Remember, he is the universal creator. He is the supreme controller. He can do anything he wants. Anything, anything. And what does he choose to do? Wander in the forests of Vrindavan without his shoes on, with his friends, with the boys, with the cows. Perfect life. Prabhupada has said this on so many occasions. He did not choose to live in the city. It is perfect life. It is village life. It is natural life. And Krishna was showing this by his own example. He was playing with the calves. And the calves, they are frisky, they are fun, they are very good for young boys. Krishna is just 4 or 5 at this time. Immediately taking responsibility, but it's playful responsibility. And then when he was living there, he would play, he would take the calves and the boys, they would go to the Yamuna, and they would go in Ramanreti, Krishna and Balaram. Balaram and Krishna were inseparable. They were always together. And then this demon would be killed, and that demon would be killed. Bakasur, Vatsasur would be killed. And then the boys, they wouldn't go very far because they were just young boys with the calves. They would come back, and everyone would be eager. What happened today? Oh, Krishna did this, and Krishna did this. And everyone's heart in Vrindavan would swell and melt. Krishna is so wonderful. He is so wonderful. Because they loved him fully. They were absorbed in him. They didn't have to do any sadhana, any practice. Because they were already either Krishna's expansions or perfected. They just simply loved Krishna. Then, one day, while Krishna was taking the boys out, there was a great serpent demon whose name was Agasura. Aga means, what does Ag mean? Sin. And he was so envious because Krishna had killed his younger, what a family he was from, Bakasura and Putana. He wanted to kill Krishna and the coward boys. Has anyone been to the place where Agasura was killed? Yes?
Oh,
has anyone been there? Is that known where Agasura was killed? I had heard it's by somewhere around the Chetikar area. It's not far from that. So then while that was seen, while Agasura was killed, Krishna entered the mouth of Agasura and expanded. And the soul of Agasura came out and waited for Krishna to come out. And that soul entered as a spark. It entered right into Krishna's body. And Brahma had seen this. Brahma, Lord Brahma, had seen this. So he's seeing, I know that Krishna is God, but God? His relationship with him is more awe and reverence, not like the residents in Vrindavan. So he sees, how is it possible for this boy who's wandering around Vrindavan without shoes? He's such a village boy, he doesn't even know to wear shoes. How is it possible that he is my master, the Supreme Lord? So he wants to test Krishna. So what does he do? Everyone knows. What does he do? He steals. What does he steal? The boys. And what else does he steal? The calves, not the cows, because Krishna has not yet been given charge of the cows. He steals the calves and the boys and puts them in a cave. And then he comes quickly back, and lo and behold, he sees that the calves and the boys are still there. He knows he's taking them away, but yet he sees they're still there, and he becomes completely bewildered. And then to add to the bewilderment of Lord Brahma, Krishna then shows Brahma that he himself has expanded into these boys and calves. So each of those boys and calves, each and every one of them, becomes Vishnu forms. And Brahma feels like he's an ant in the presence of a great mountain. He feels that he's a glowworm in the presence of the sun. And he understands something about Krishna. Or rather, he understands that Krishna possesses more potency than he could ever imagine. And he says, and then he offers prayers. And that's in the 14th chapter. He offers prayers to Krishna. Very important prayers, philosophically important, which show that Krishna, not Narayan, is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One of those prayers, which is cited by the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, says directly, Brahma says, that aren't you that same Lord who Lord Narayan has expanded from, an Anga of Lord Narayan? So this is a very important verse. And then Brahma concludes, practically speaking, by saying, there is so much difference in the potency of your body and my body that I cannot even imagine the difference. Just like I have a little strength so I can lift a book, and someone else can lift 15 times more than me or 100 times more than me. But Brahma himself was so potent, but how potent Krishna was, he could not even imagine or fathom. Unlimitedly, how do we estimate what unlimited means? Inconceivably unlimited. And that is Krishna. It is not an accident this is an obvious statement in one sense, that the 14th chapter takes place before the 15th chapter. It's not an accident. Because we need to keep being reminded that Brahma's prayers, reminding us that when that boy, that beautiful boy, wearing a peacock feather in his head and playing his flute, is wandering on Govardhan Hill without his shoes on and playing with his friends, that boy is not a boy like we know, but that boy has more potency, more power than it's possible to imagine, even by Lord Brahma, what to speak of us. And how masterfully Prabhupada integrates these points within Krishna book. He is a boy, yes, he's a boy. But he's not a boy like us or any other boy. He is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The first incarnation of Krishna in this world, in this universe, comes just after the creation, or the first of a particular type of incarnation. It's Lord Varaha. And Lord Varaha comes as a boar, like a pig. But yet, whatever form Krishna takes, there is unlimited potency in that form, and therefore the Brahmins worship him. Even though he is a boar, a pig, and if anyone has lived in Vrindavan, pigs and boars are not looked at with the highest respect. One keeps a very respectful distance from them, because lest one they touch you or something like that, or shake their body. But this, when Krishna comes, regardless of the form he's in, it's unlimitedly potent. Unlimited in everything. But this Lord Varaha showed his power by lifting the earth, so we can understand more easily that he is the Lord. But when that Lord, who is the source of Lord Varaha, in the original, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, the Supreme Lord. When he's walking on Govardhan Hill, herding the cows with his friends, and as we'll hear later, arm wrestling with them, walking around with his shoes, and what astounded the Lord Brahma, Krishna was holding the food that his mother had given him in his left hand. How uncultured! Remember always that whatever situation Krishna is, whether he's holding it in the left hand, he is always, whether he's walking around without shoes, whether he's herding the cows or arm wrestling, whether he loses, this is all his transcendental pastimes. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Krishna avatar, Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is the most difficult thing to understand. And yet, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and by the mercy of the amazing way that we have been presented this information, it isn't, by Srila Prabhupada, it isn't, doesn't seem to be most difficult, but it is actually. That boy, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just look at him. Just look at him. A peacock feather. The materialists will say, why a peacock feather? Why not a crow feather? They'll say, why a flute? Why not the trombone? The materialists will say, why cowherd boy? Why not goatherd boy? Soon as there is anything specific, people will say, why not this and why not that and why not this and why not that? But why can't he do what he wants? He's the Supreme Personality of God. He's a person. He's a personality. He has individual likes, and this is what he loves to do. This is his place. This is his land. This is his hill. When Krishna just turned 6, although the residents of Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj and the other elders, were somewhat fearful, they decided to give him and the other boys charge of the cows from the calves. And that's where this chapter begins, chapter 15. Now, please look at the sheets that we just handed out with the verses. This is actually how Prabhupada, as I found out in Tokyo at that mysterious lecture, Prabhupada actually wanted us to study the Bhagavatam in such a way that we would actually learn the verses, study it from different points of view, study the word by words. I know usually in a Bhagavatam class, when it's time for the word by words, I know I can just like change the channel of my mind so I can think about something and maybe I'll come back later. It's a time, but actually, in these word by words, there is so much meaning. And Prabhupada usually bases his purports around the word by words, because this reveals the meaning of the verses, of the texts. So, after offering our most humble and respectful obeisances and feeling very incapable, we shall read, we'll offer our humble obeisances first to Srila Prabhupada and his followers, and then to Giriraj Govardhan and to the Supreme Lord and to the Bhagavatam and Srila Vyasadeva. Let us read some of this 15th chapter. Sri Suku Vacha Tatascha Pogandavaya Sritao Bhaje. So, Sri Suka Uvacha, we know what that means very easily. But Tata, then. What does this then mean? This means then, after, after Krishna had been herding the cow, the calves, then something else is going to happen. Then, Poganda Vayu, Krishna is no longer 4 or 5. He's hit the age of Poganda, which is the years 6 to 10. Tatascha Poganda Vayu. So then what happens is Krishna hits Poganda Vayu, Shrital Braje. Shrital means what? Attaining. He's attained the age of 6. Where? Braje. In Vrindavan. The area of Vrindavan, of course we generally say this is all Vrindavan, but the forest of Vrindavan extends basically from the town of Vrindavan, which we call Vrindavan also, through Govardhan. And the leelas that we're going to hear, these cowherd boy leelas, take place at Govardhan. Just in these places right over here, Krishna marks, as we'll hear right now, Krishna will mark this area with his lotus footprints. So in Vrindavan, the forest of Vrindavan includes Vrindavan town, Govardhan, parts of the Yamuna, Nandagaon, and Barshana, I believe, too. All this is in Vrindavan. Very, very sweet pastimes happen in Vrindavan. So, Tatascha Poganda Vaya Shrital Braje. So then, Krishna, Shrital, attains Poganda Vayu. He attains this very sweet age of Poganda. Where? In Braj, in Vrindavan. Next line. Babu Vitastal Pashupala Samatal. Everyone, please. Babu Vitastal Pashupala Samatal. Babuvadas, they, who are they? Rama and Krishna, Krishna and Balaram. Just here, Krishna and Balaram, what did they do? The two of them, Pashupala, there is Pashu means what? The animals, and Pal means protector, like Dikpal, the protector of the directions. So, the two of them, Krishna and Balaram, Samato, they were appointed Pashupala, or cowherd boys. Next line. What did they do when they were appointed cowherd boys? I'll read it, and then please repeat. Gas Charayanta Sakibi Samampada. So, Ga is a derivative of gold, the cows. This is what they did. The cows, Charayanta, they tended the cows. Right here, they were tending the cows, Krishna and Balaram, but not alone, Sakivi, with their friends, Saman, along with their friends, Sakibi Saman, along with their friends, Krishna and Balaram, tended the cows, Pashupala, and in doing that, Pada Vrindavanam Punyam Ativa Chakrato. Repeat that. Pada Vrindavanam Punyam Ativa Chakrato. Padar, the marks of their feet. They made Sri Vrindavan, Vrindavanam Punyam, still at Punyam Ativa Ati. Very, very auspicious. Vrindavan is always auspicious. It is most auspicious. But by being marked with the lotus feet of Krishna as he wandered around Vrindavan with Balaram and the other cowherd boys, they made that all auspicious place of Vrindavan where we are sitting right now extremely auspicious. Ativa Chakrito. This is Poganda Vaya at the age of 6. Here is the translation done by the BBT team as servants of Srila Prabhupada. Sukadev Goswami said, when Lord Rama and Lord Krishna attain the age of Poganda, 6 to 10, while living in Vrindavan, the cowherd men allowed them to take up the task of tending the cows. Engaging thus in the company of their friends, the two boys rendered the land of Vrindavan most auspicious by imprinting upon it the marks of their lotus feet. Who knows some of the marks on Krishna's lotus feet? Raise your hand if you know one, and say one. What? What is a gada? The club. Yes, what other? Another one.
Flash.
The?
Flash.
Lightning flash. Thunderbolt. Yes. Anyone know another one? A flag. Another one?
Umbrella.
Barleycorn, I think. Yes? Anything else? Kush?
Fish.
And the yes. Chakra. And the
The elephant,
the mahout, the controller of the elephant, has a, like a stick thing that he uses to drive the elephant. So Krishna's lotus feet, yes, another one?
Swastik.
He has all these marks and all over Vrindavan. As he tended the cows, these were placed. And all the residents of Vrindavan and all the animals of Vrindavan, everyone would honor Krishna's footprints. No one would walk on them or smooth them over. So therefore, when a crow came to Vrindavan, he saw immediately Krishna's footprints from herding the cows. And what did he do? He rolled and he took that dust of Krishna's footprints and smeared it on his body. Why did he do that? Because he was a devotee. And tears began to stream from his eyes. This verse is a general description of what will be described in detail in the following verses. Here is the purport. On this purport, again, what I have some of is the commentaries that Gopi Pranadana Prabhu translated that were made into the purports. So there are some things that made it into the purports, and there are some things that didn't make it into the purports. We'll hear the purport, and then we'll hear some other things as well. Purport. Lord Krishna wanted to encourage his cowherd boyfriends who had been swallowed by Agasura and then stolen by Lord Brahma. Traumatic experiences indeed. So he wanted to encourage them. Therefore, the Lord decided to bring them into the palm tree forest called Talavana. And that will happen beginning in text 20 or so. There's one word used then, we'll hear, is Isha Chestita. Because in these opening verses, Krishna is going to be playing, this is in his Naralila, just like a boy. But that boy, again, has unlimited potency. And at any time he wants, he can display that unlimited potency. And the opportunity for this Isha Chestitaha is going to come in the 19th or 20th verse in this chapter, when he's going to decide, beginning at that time until text 40 perhaps, there's going to be description of how he goes to Talavan. Now Talavan, it will describe where Talavan is in relationship to here. It's between here and Mathura. So he decided he would bring them into the palm tree forest called Talavan, where there were many delicious ripe fruits. Since Lord Krishna's spiritual body has apparently grown slightly in age and strength, because he's now 6, the senior men of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Maharaj, decided to promote Krishna from the task of herding calves to the status of regular cowherd boys. He would now take care of the fully grown cows, bulls, and oxen out of great affection. Why now? Why not before? Out of great affection, Nanda Maharaj had previously considered Krishna too small and immature to take care of the fully grown cows and bulls. It is stated in the Kartik Mahatmya section of the Padma Purana, Suklastami Kartikatu Smritigopastami Budai Tadinam Vasudeva Bud Gopa Purvam Tuvatsapada. The eighth lunar day of the bright fortnight of the month of Kartik is known by authorities as Gopastami. Gopa Astami. Astami is the eighth day of the bright, when it's the moon is waxing, it's growing bigger. The eighth day of that. This is from the Kartik Padma Purana. From that day, Lord Vasudev served as a cowherd, whereas previously he had tended the calves. So on that day of Gopastami, Krishna will take the boys into the Vrindavan forest for the first time, and that is what we're hearing. The word padai indicates that Lord Krishna blessed the earth by walking on her surface with his lotus feet. The Lord wore no shoes or other foot gear, but walked barefoot in the forest, giving great anxiety to the girls of Vrindavan, who feared that his soft lotus feet would be injured. In that simple statement, it carries so much, actually. What did the cowherd girls of Vrindavan fear while Krishna was walking through the land of Vrindavan without shoes? What was their fear? What was their anxiety?
He heard himself stepping on
toes. Yes, when we walk through here, we don't wear, we're not barefooted, because there are so many rocks, there are so many thorns, there are so many ankur, just sprouted grasses, and when we walk, there's some pain. And Krishna's lotus feet are so soft. So while Krishna was out in the forest, all the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis, they were in complete anxiety. But what was the cause of that anxiety? They were just simply thinking of Krishna's welfare. And that is the key to understanding Vrindavan. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes in the fourth chapter of Adilila of Chaitanya Charitamrita that whatever the gopis are doing, whether it's dressing or combing their hair or putting on this or putting on that, or they're moving in this way or carrying this in that way, it may appear to our eyes, oh, they're looking in the mirror because they want to look beautiful and they're vain. And they're thinking, oh, I want to look beautiful so everyone looks at me because I want to be thought of as wonderful, because that's perhaps what I do when I look in the mirror. But no, when the gopis dress themselves, when they decorate themselves, they have only one thought, and that is to give Krishna pleasure. They are the pure lovers of Krishna. There is not an ounce of selfishness in them. And that is the characteristic of all the residents of Vrindavan. They simply love Krishna. They simply are concerned with his welfare. So in the 21st chapter of this canto, there's one verse in the 21st and one in the, perhaps in the 29th chapter, where the gopis specifically express this anxiety. Chalasi yad braja charayan pasu nalini sandanam kantate padam sila, the rocks, shila trina ankorai siddhaditina. They're just in anxiety. Oh, what happens if Krishna's lotus feet, if he experiences the slightest bit of inconvenience by feeling some pain? They are willing to shed gallons of their blood, of their perspiration. They're willing to be completely in anxiety. They're willing to do anything so that Krishna could simply avoid any pain, any inconvenience. They love him. It is not lust, it is love. And therefore, they are in Vrindavan. And Krishna acts in such a way, and this is described in the first canto, very, very intimate things right in the first canto when Krishna enters Dwarka. The meeting between Krishna and his queens after he had been away for such a long time is very wonderful. First, they shyly cover them, their heads. They won't look at him directly out of their shyness. Then they send their sons forward to embrace Krishna. And Krishna reciprocates with them. And so that one doesn't misunderstand that this is a dealing of the material world. Srila Prabhupada's purports in their verses, the last three or four verses, there. And therefore we should go through all the Bhagavatam. We should go through the Bhagavatam. This is the system, so we understand the tattva about Krishna so nicely, so that when we read the 10th canto, our hearts will simply melt in devotion for Krishna. So those verses in the first canto, which I think it's the 11th chapter, right at the end of the 11th chapter of the first canto, the descriptions are so clear that Krishna is simply acting in this way to reciprocate the kind of love, the quality of love that these exalted personages wish to exchange with him. He is not in need of anything, but he is Bhakta Vatsal, the lover of his devotees. So his devotees want to love him in this way. So Krishna acts in such a way that their love explodes. Their ecstasy simply explodes in their affection of him. He is Akila Rasamrita Murti. He even gives himself to his devotees. That is his greatest pleasure. Parjanto Atma Vidanyata. He gives himself with his to his devotees. Otherwise it would appear that he's a dictator. But no, he is conquered by the love of his devotees, and that's what Braja shows. Just a few more comments. Let's see if there's anything to read in addition to what was already included by our BBT translators and formulators of this. Srila Sridhar Swami makes a comment that was included, actually. Now, we'll just read Sanatana Goswami's comment. Short comment here. The calves, who are protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because remember, he's been promoted to be a cowherd boy, and that means someone else is taking care of the calves. How do you think the calves are going to feel about that? They love Krishna. They've been with Krishna. He's been playing with them. They love him completely. The calves, who are protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Protected meaning the pal. He was the calfherd boy. Despite still drinking milk from their mothers, were unable to give up the Lord's association. And following these calves, the mothers of the cows, and the bulls, and even those that were being held back, because now it was time just to take the cows, but the bulls, the other cows, their mothers who were kept back to drink from them, and the calves, they all went forward to be near the Lord. They would not go to the forest without him. And this is Vrindavan. This is Vrindavan. Everyone simply loves Krishna, not 50%, not 70%, not with one foot here and one foot there, not dreaming at all that I am Krishna, that I am the center of existence, and becoming angry at the circumstances when everyone in the universe doesn't surrender to what I want. And the universe doesn't cooperate, and that, and anger, and etc., etc. No, they have not the slightest tendency for anything other than love for Krishna and to make Krishna happy. So the calves in their ecstasy, and the bulls, and the mother cows who are feeding them, they could not tolerate separation from Krishna, and they would not go to the forest without him. And one other comment that wasn't included was that Krishna and Balaram would travel about in great affection inseparable companions. So that's a comment, the comments of Sanatana Goswami that were not included. Another comment by Sanatana Goswami, that Krishna want that the, on the word padai, what does the word padai mean? His footprints. So he was, yes, with the marks of their feet, their footprints, making the earth very fortunate. So Srila Sanatana Goswami comments that Krishna wanted to show mercy to the earth who had borne the troubles of crying out for the Lord's descent. There is a special seed of possibly hidden instruction for us there, that the earth cried out undergoing so much trouble, and Krishna indeed did reciprocate with the earth. But it's not one of those crying out, oh Krishna, when my mind is wondering how many more seconds till prasadam, or my knee hurts, or this, or I wonder what, or, you know, reading the newspaper while chanting, or this and that. No. There is, like the cows, like the calves, there is nothing that could satisfy them but Krishna. When we are like that, when our chanting has that potency, as we're hearing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were no words that would come out of his mouth. Where is Krishna other than Krishna, Krishna, where is Krishna? This was his desire. And Mahaprabhu was teaching us how we can become devotees. And Krishna reciprocates with that. So on one side, this side, that side, but this side, give up this attachment we have that just, what does it give us after all? What are we going to get from being, what are we going to achieve and attain on the personal level for myself? What pleasure will I get in this world? We're all experienced enough to know we should give it up. And on that side, detachment. On this side, very deep attachment, so nothing else will satisfy us. Okay, so we'll stop here. Tomorrow, Krishna willing, we will go onward at a greater rate and hear about Krishna as he walks through the land of Vrindavan, making it glorious with his friends and cows by the touches of his lotus feet. Giriraj Govardhan ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. Bolo Giriraj Narayan ki jai. Thank you, Hare Krishna.